Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
November of 2023, the then Health Minister Stephen Donnelly announced testing for spinal muscular atrophy would be included in the heel prick test. SMA is a rare genetic neuromuscular condition. It causes progressive muscle wasting and weakness leading to loss of movement. Now, thankfully in Ireland, several cutting-edge treatments are now available, mitigating SMA's most serious effects. But timely intervention is absolutely critical, and it does rely on newborn screening. The aim had been set for that to begin through the heel prick test in 2024, but 2 years on, not one baby has been tested for SMA through that process in Ireland. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Liz McMahon, and Liz has two sons with spinal muscular atrophy. You're very welcome.
Thanks
for being with us, Liz. Will we go back first of all and talk maybe a bit about Luke?
Yeah.
It was a fairly standard pregnancy and birth. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah. I suppose he was discharged from the Rotunda, fine, healthy baby. I had Vivian at home at that stage as well. So she was about 2.5. So he was sleeping a lot, which I thought was great.
Yeah. Well, your busy house, two small children.
Yeah, yeah. But then I started to kind of notice that when I put him down, he didn't even move. Like, he didn't turn his head or anything like that. And I suppose the one example that jumped out to me was if I was changing his nappy on my lap, his arm would fall down to the side. And when I picked it back up, it would just drop away again, and he'd make no effort to bring his arm back up again. So I mentioned it to the GP at the 6-week check, and she said, yeah, he did feel a bit floppy, and she gave me a referral letter to bring him into Temple Street, which I brought him in that evening. So this is at the start of December, and we're sitting waiting in the AD waiting room. And the doctor there told me, yeah, he is a bit floppy, bring him home, engage him in play. And if you don't see any difference in 2 weeks, or if he gets worse, bring him back. But by the weekend, he was showing signs of being unwell. And we rushed him into hospital on the Monday morning. And he had, it was in severe respiratory distress at that stage. He had picked up RSV, most likely in the waiting room on Wednesday.
And how old was he at that stage?
He was 7 weeks at that stage.
Oh, he was a tiny baby.
Yeah, yeah. So it's he was very unwell, like that, rushed up to ICU. And from talking to the consultants and the doctors, he was diagnosed then at 8 weeks old with SMA type 1, which would be the most severe type of SMA. We had never heard of it before.
No, I'm sure you hadn't.
And like that, we had had Vivian and she was fine. So it was very new to us. We had spent a week in hospital looking at him, going, yeah, you know, he's not well, but he's in the hospital. They'll find out what it is and they'll make him better. And then you're sat down in a room with a consultant who's telling you that he has this condition that is, like you said, a progressive condition. And that typically, if he was untreated, they don't live to see their second birthday.
Gosh,
it's devastating. It's like being, you know, knocked over by a train. You know, you just don't. You don't know where your head is at that moment. It's
I can't imagine, but I'd say you can't even take it in.
No, you're sitting there, you're listening to it, you understand everything the doctor says, but it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. It's like, this is your little baby. All through the pregnancy, all you say is, as long as they have, you know, 10 fingers and 10 toes and they're born healthy, that's all you want. You never expect for them to be born healthy, and you bring them home, and then in a matter of weeks you're told that they've got this really serious life-limiting condition. But there was a ray of hope. There was a treatment at that time. So Luke was 9 weeks when he started the treatment. And the treatment he was getting involved 4 loading doses, they call, over the period of a month. He wasn't initially shown any signs of improvement. Because I suppose he's so unwell. And then eventually he did start to show signs of improvement. And we ended up spending 9 months in a hospital. He had to strengthen his respiratory system and stuff like that. So
he wasn't home at all in the 9 months?
No. He went into hospital on the 4th of December, and we eventually got him home the last week in August, first week in September the following year.
So that's complete upheaval for your little family.
Oh yeah, it was. And I mean, like, for Vivian, it was such an emotional time for her, because she is gone from having the two of us all to herself, and she was such a daddy's girl at the time. I always remember I have one photograph at home where Luke, or Dave, is holding Luke on his chest, and like Vivian is literally sprawled all over him going, no, he's my daddy, who are you? Like, you know. So she was dealing with that initially, and then 6 weeks later he's gone, and I'm gone, and Dave is gone initially, and it just, it throws up the whole family dynamic, just breaks it up. We were like, you know, we were ships in the night just passing. And, you know, I'm sitting in with Luke and I'm feeling guilty for not spending time with Vivian. Dave is feeling guilty about having to go back to work, but life goes on. Like, you know, you've bills to pay, mortgage to pay. And it just, you know, it just, it changes your whole life.
And how is he doing now?
Now he's doing good. I mean, he's attending mainstream school. He has a power chair that he gets around in and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. How old is Luke now?
Luke is 8. It was his 8th birthday there last week. So, I mean, he is well. We're coming into winter season and colds and flus and bugs, which is always a very anxious time, because if Luke picks up a cold or a flu, it generally results in him having an ICU stay in hospital, and he's very sick and very unwell. It's quite intensive physio cough assist treatment that he has to get to keep his lungs clear and get him strong enough to really to recover and get over it. So you're talking maybe once or twice a year you'd have a long stay in hospital, which, you know, it's bad enough for Luke, but then like that, it causes that separation in the family then again.
Mm-hmm. And you're always on your guard, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, when is this next thing going to happen?
Yeah, like Luke, he requires suctioning during the day because his swallow is so weak. So he would have a lot of saliva and secretions build up, and we need to keep his airways clear. So he needs to be suctioned quite a lot. So you're kind of looking at it going, oh, does that look a little bit thicker than normal? Is he picking up a bug? And especially at this time of year when they're all just back in school, and like your previous guest was saying there, like, you can't wrap yourself up. We can't wrap him up in bubble wrap.
You have to get on with it.
Yeah, he has to get out there and he has to experience life. And he, you know, it's amazing that he is in mainstream school and he is in the classroom with all the other boys and girls. And I think it's a great experience, firstly for him, but for the other kids as well. Like, you know, because he was very interesting to them when he came in. It's like, why? And how come he has that special chair? And why is he getting that special feed? Because he's peg fed, because he can't swallow and stuff. And, you know, kids are great.
They learn a lot.
It kind of normalizes it for them. Mm-hmm. Like, where?
So then tell us about Sean.
Yeah. So I suppose myself and Dave, we had always talked about having 3 children. And I suppose we had kind of gotten ourselves into a nice little routine with Vivian and with Luke, and we're kind of going, looking at other families and, you know, will we try again? Maybe we will, and let's not let this stop us, like, you know. So we did, we went again, and they did a blood test when I was about 10 weeks pregnant, and they were able to isolate Sean's blood and test it, and they confirmed then that he was SMA type 1 as well, which, when we decided and we talked about it, you kind of prepare, well, you tell yourself, you know, this, it could happen, but that you're hoping that it doesn't. And when you get the news, yeah, it was fairly devastating initially. And then we talked about it and we kind of went, well, look, we know now, he can get that early intervention, and spoke to the consultants. And so when Sean was born, at 10 days old, he received his first treatment. And so he is now 5, he'll be 6 in January, and he is walking around. He has a slight weakness in his hips and his ankles and stuff like that. So he mightn't be running as fast or jumping or, you know, as robustly as other 5 or 6 year olds, but he's walking around. He doesn't need any of Luke needs a non-invasive ventilator when he's sleeping at night. Sean doesn't require that. He's eating and drinking as normal. And he's never had a hospital stay for illness.
So this is the difference between the really early intervention,
yeah,
and getting involved when,
absolutely,
Luke was 9-10 weeks, which was when, yeah, and his treatment started.
He would have been relatively young as well, like, you know, because mm-hmm. he got so sick and he was diagnosed early. Typically, it could be 2 or 3 months before they're diagnosed. And that's, in, you know, another 4 or 5 weeks of progression of SMA, yeah, you know.
So then I suppose this brings us to the, why the heel prick test is so important.
So important. It is. It's vital. It's I class it as like, it's a miracle for babies that are going to be born with SMA. If they're tested and if they're diagnosed early enough and if they can start their treatment, like Sean was 10 days old, if they can start it within, you know, that early window, SMA becomes, it's not that life-limiting condition anymore.
It's different, completely different.
I have a condition, but it's totally manageable and doesn't have to impact their life. First and foremost, for the child themselves, but even the wider impacts of SMA mm-hmm. on the family dynamic and the hospital stays and the, like, even... you know, family, like planning outings and stuff like that, everything, it takes away the kind of, oh, will we just do this today? Because mm-hmm. you have to, everything has to be planned. And, you know, because Luke is in a power chair, we have to, is the places we're going to, are they accessible? Do they have changing facilities? Even like now it's Halloween and Vivian wants to go pumpkin picking on farms,
yeah,
and kind of thing.
To the pumpkin and, patch.
Yeah. And you'd love to do it as a whole family, but it wouldn't be suitable for Luke in his power chair. And then you have the confliction of, well, do I just bring Vivian and Sean? And then, but then I'm leaving Luke out. And it's,
I know,
you know, so there's that. So there is the medical and the urgency in first and foremost, but there's the wider knock-on effect on the whole family dynamic.
Well, listen, we have Jonathan O'Grady on the line with us, who I know you know, who's the director of SMA Ireland and also an adult who's living with SMA. Jonathan, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you.
And listen, we've heard Liz's story and that of her family, and I suppose we get why the heel prick test is so important, but the government has committed to do this. I mean, do you know why it hasn't happened yet? It was supposed to happen in 2024.
Well, that's right. The then Minister for Health in November 2023 approved SMA for inclusion in the heel prick test, along with another condition called SCID. I suppose we were hoping that, you know, it would naturally take some time, but that it would happen in 2024. Here we are coming into November 2025, and we're still waiting for it to be implemented, which means on average six children are born with SMA in Ireland every year. And they are children that have gone home with their parents, unbeknownst that there was this ticking time bomb. And this terrible diagnosis that would emerge perhaps 12 months later. You ask why? Well, we have to understand that currently the heel prick test that takes place on children within the first 3 days, all those blood spots are tested in Temple Street in the laboratory there, and traditionally they have been enzyme tests, which, not to get too technical, the tests for SMA and SCID, these are genetic tests. Mm-hmm. So they are a different type of test. Now, but that's not to exaggerate the complexity. The Temple Street lab, you know, would have had to hire some specialist technicians. They would have had to tender for some equipment, but the equipment is no more than a posh espresso machine.
Well, they say, Jonathan, because we have a statement from the Department of Health, they say the equipment has been installed, the additional staff have been recruited, significant progress has been made on lab verification and the treatment pathway development, that progress has been made on that as well. They say it's complex, you know, the expansion of this testing, but that they are planning to introduce testing for both these conditions as soon as possible. So do you accept that things are moving?
Undoubtedly, I think everyone that SMA Ireland has spoken to all want to see this test implemented. And you know, there's nobody that wants to go out of the way to block it. But I suppose there's just an inertia. There's a lack of urgency amongst some of the key decision makers. to just prioritise it and make sure that it happens quickly.
Okay, well, we hope that it does move really, really quickly, and that, as you say, those families who've had that news in the last 2 years and was supposed to be introduced much sooner than now, you know, that you've really demonstrated to us, Liz, the difference that it makes to get in really early with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not understating it to say that it is absolutely life-changing for these children. Like, and it saves them from all of the hardship and the day-to-day difficulties that Luke has to face and other children with SMA type 1.
And listen, Liz, thanks so much for coming in and for telling us about Luke and about Sean and about Vivian and your lovely family. That's Liz McMahon and Jonathan O'Grady, who's Director of SMA Ireland. We will take a break. We'll be back after this.